Tranquility is not feeling well, so she excused herself from the call. I give all of you my peace. I spoke with Father yesterday, and here is his message. My very dear team, time is now short, and my plan must now move forward rapidly. There is no more time to second-guess who my son Tryland is or who you are. You have all been trained and taught, and today you will receive the final gift to assure that mankind knows I have sent you in this time. The Apostle Orlovsky is still fighting me. I have complicated his life in the past, and I have been holding off, hoping that I would not have to do this again, but I must. Again, time is short, and many meetings must take place before the announcement. I would encourage all of you to pray for his faith, that it does not fail him. Yes, these are hard words to hear, but he is not doing as I have asked of him, nor his leaders. I will shake him to the core of his faith in an effort to bring him back around to the truth that all of this holds. Your Dysk Apostle, on the other hand, is now entertaining the idea of Tryland. He has spoken to the Apostle about this, but does not receive any positive reinforcement. That will change. Many in my son's circle of travel have heard that he believes he's my second son. Starlight saw the fear in the hearts of the leaders in the Portage congregation as the Holy Spirit touched them with the thought, what if Jim Ryback really is the second son of God? They now fear this idea, as they should, not because my son will bring harm to them, but they have no right to judge. This is one of mankind's biggest problems, judging each other, believing they know better than the one they judge. Endless criticizing and tearing each other apart, that is not welcomed in my kingdom. My son and I spoke this week of many things that displease me within the church. I will let him share these points with you. Things must change for the bride to be ready when Jesus returns. This will too take some time and much teaching on all of your behalves. This is why I have schooled all of you. You will be teaching just as much as Tryland will be teaching. In time, all of you will be in certain areas of the world proclaiming Jesus' gospel alongside of the apostolate. Does this surprise you? It should not. For I have said, for every apostle, there will be a guardian. Now, focus on your families and close friends. Teach them of what you know and hear of in these meetings. It is important that many hearts are prepared now, before the announcement. This is my son's foundation, his support system, for I will tell all of you that the level of evil that will come at him and all of you, the likes of which you have never seen or felt before, this is Satan's last effort to discredit and confuse mankind one last time. He will fail because you are all stronger than he is. Do not fear, my chief guardians. I am with you until the last soul is found, taught, and brought home. As always, know you have a very special place in my heart, and I will always love you. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Did Father elaborate, or did you get any feelings at all about the different types of evil? I mean, are we talking physical, spiritual, earthly, not natural? What are we... thoughts on that?
He didn't elaborate on it, but I would just say that in the conversation that he and I had, the biggest concern I have is that after my announcement, the New Apostolic Church all of a sudden will have a bullseye on its forehead, and the terrorists are going to go out of their way to target our brothers and sisters in our churches. And within this conversation that Father and I had, he looked at me and said, do you think honestly, boy, that I would allow any harm to come to any of my children or anybody in our church? And I just kind of looked at him. He said, if on the day that you make the statement that you are one of the guardians and you have a team that protects the bride of Christ and I allow harm to come to them, do you not then lose credibility in their eyes? And I said, yes. He goes, therefore, I will not allow any harm to come to anyone. I said, okay. As far as the level of evil of what it is, it is going to be something that I don't even have words for. I know that all of our hearts can already feel as it's been building over the last 2 weeks. There has been more evil that's been unleashed on this planet. I don't know if any of you have been sensitive to it. I have. I actually pogged the planet at one point a couple weeks ago because it was so suffocating and so degrading at that point. I could barely even work or function at my desk. So yes, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. It's going to take its form in our own brothers and sisters attacking us at some point. It's going to take its form in Satan unleashing his crap on this world. It's going to take its place in the form of natural disasters. This past hurricane that hit Florida and the lower part of the United States, I was having my conversation with Father when that was taking place, and he basically said, "You need to stand down, boy." I received an email from Nuke asking if there was something more we could do as guardians, and I informed him, as Father told me, he said, "This is one of the storms that will herald Jesus' return. It's one of many. And the lives that were claimed, they needed to be taken at that time," which is tough to hear. But we cannot save everybody, and it's Father's way of shaking this planet. It even reads in Scripture, you can read in Scripture, that there's going to be natural disasters and wars and all that. Well, my dear friends, we are in that time, and this is what we get to experience. So I know that everybody wants to step up and prevent a lot of things. I argued with Father because I said to him, "You've given me all this power to protect mankind, and yet I can't do anything with the storm." I actually wanted to deflect it and move it off, and Father did. So it didn't do as much damage as it was intended to do, but it still had to take its course. Does anybody have any other comments or question? Okay. I asked Blazar if he would be willing to share with the team his recovery. So, Blazar, if you take a few moments, please.
Hello. They removed 20% of my pancreas, and they removed my spleen. I thank God don't have cancer, but it was, that looked like a tumor. It was a secondary pancreas, a secondary spleen that was growing on my pancreas. I've been in the hospital in and out the first 3 weeks of September. I had a lot of blood behind my stomach, and it was making me vomit, so they had to put a drain in. And then the next week, my kidneys failed because when I was on the table, my blood pressure dropped so much that it injured my kidneys, so I was having renal failure. So they helped me with that. I went to the kidney doctor Friday, and they said that things are looking good. I just have to wait for healing. I haven't been at work, so that's kind of tough. We're going to have to go back on October 28th so that I can get released to go to work. But I'd say I'm about 60%. The good thing is I lost 37 pounds, 15 in 1 week, so that's good. But well, so far, so good. Doing well. Thank you for everyone for your prayers, and I greatly appreciate it. So thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
Heck of a way to lose weight, dude.
Yeah.
Glad you're better.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Starlight was a couple weeks ago given the name of the next realm that she was to go into, and the realm's name was Purgatory. Honestly, I was under the impression that only the Catholics believed in this kind of a place and never thought that there actually was a realm, but it turns out that there is. The ironic thing about that is it is comprised of only Catholics. Starlight went into it yesterday, and prior to going in, the chief apostle and my dad took her there and gave her some kind of a little bit of insight. They informed her that there's actually two realms within the one realm, and they're segregated because one realm is comprised of the cardinals and the bishops and the priests, because they feel that they're greater than the members, and the other part of the realm is comprised of the members. Yesterday morning when we were having breakfast, my dad said that he'd be waiting for her, and she kind of looked funny at me and said, why would he be waiting for me? And I said, because my dad was Catholic. And he said, he's going to be going in this realm with you. I said, because he has the perspective that most Catholics would have, where they've been told something their entire life, and their faith has hinged on that, and now they don't end up in heaven. Now they're in this realm, and she was also warned by the chief apostle that there is a lot of anger and rage in this. So she prepared herself. She took a couple weeks to get familiarized with it. All 10 archangels were assigned to go in with her. We sent in a warrior brigade to actually create a perimeter and segregate her in the center of this realm, because we knew that there would be such an anger and rage that they would try to hurt her in some way. So we took precautionary time to set up protection for her. And then she was ushered in, and now I'll turn it over to Starlight to take it from here.
Well, when I went in, it was different than some of the other realms that I have been in, but I had been preparing myself. When previous to me going in, I had met with the chief apostle, and he had told me, you know, I need you to take some time and to really, really think about, you know, what's going to be said and how, you know, what's going to happen in this realm. You know, obviously I can't necessarily see what the future is, but I had to do some digging. And, you know, as always, HS is always helping me, you know, find the words. But this was just sort of a different beast, I guess. I found it interesting when I was in there. I went into the first door, I guess, that I went into was the one that had the bishops and the cardinals and all that in there.
Oops.
And it was interesting that while I was in there, I had to say, a lot of times when I'm in there, I had a lot of love behind what I was saying, and, you know, and with showing them who Father is. But at the same time, I also had to be a little firm with them, letting them know that, you know, everyone is, you know, I guess I don't want to say created equal, but in a sense equal, and that, you know, they're not any better, because that was, you know, what I was picking up from them. They did not want to hear anything that I had to say. It was a sense of arrogance about them. But there is a lot of work to be done in that realm, and there will. I was also told by the chief apostle that I'll be going in there more than once, and now I understand why I'll be going in there more than just the one time. There's a lot of things going on in there, and so then the second door that I went into had the members. They were a little bit more receptive, but at the same time there was a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, you know. And the only way that I can describe it in the way that, you know, some of the souls, I actually talked to a few of the souls in some of the other realms where they didn't necessarily talk, they would just listen. But this one, you know, there were some that were, you know, were asking questions and saying things, you know, and basically, you know, you've been told something your whole entire life, your whole belief system of who you are and how you're supposed to be. And then, you know, and then to find out that you've been lied to and betrayed, and how do you I guess fix that or understand all of it that happened. So again, there's a lot of work to be done in the realms, but there were a few souls that showed up to church today. So, but other than that, that's about it that I have to say about that. Anyone have any questions or anything?
I do.
Sure.
When you go in there, obviously each realm is different, but were there any receptive ears and hearts or no?
There, Yes, in the one with the realm that had the more of the members in it, they were very I don't want to say they were very receptive. Some of them were receptive. When I went into the realm that had, I guess I was calling it like more of like the men of the priests and things. There was a one particular soul that was in there that I actually gave him one of Father's letters. And that was, he was actually the first one that I've ever given a letter to, because I had given one of the other souls in a different realm Jesus's letter. But this particular soul's name was Joshua, and I gave him the letter, and but he was very receptive, and he's actually, interestingly enough, one of Father's ambassadors, so he'll actually be working in that realm as well. And hopefully there'll be more souls that will come around. But it's hard when there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of anger. I mean, they've been lied to as well, you know, about their their faith and things. And it's a lot of sorting themselves out. And you know, there was a lot of, I don't want to say arrogance, but there is a lot of arrogance in there. And just their whole belief system is a little bit different. And so having to sort through all of that is, you know, I mean, there were some that were receptive or some that weren't necessarily angry, but more on like the neutral where they're listening and trying to understand what's going on. So yeah.
I just asked the whole.
You say you don't want to say arrogant, but, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to point a finger, but their whole being is that they are looked up to. You know, their rings are pissed. They're called Father. You know,
wow.
I mean, so I can appreciate, because they are esteemed in their life. And that's
mostly
difficult, because they really are, and they think that they're right in that, you know, that praise should come to them. And then they get there and realize that they're way off. So,
yes.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Oh, one question. Are you tracking what realms you're in? Just on a list?
Well, yes. Yes,
okay.
I am making a list, and then usually all the realms that I've been going into, I've been telling you guys about, so it's been documented on the with our recordings as well. So.
Cool. Thank you.
So I would ask everybody to bring special offerings for all the realms in general, but when it comes to a realm of faith, I would say that they are having a more difficult time to accept what our brothers and sisters say to them, because they feel in their hearts they've already been lied to their whole life. Why should they even take a chance? Today, Starlight and I were in Portage Congregation, and it was such a zoo that a number of the souls didn't even want to come into the church. There was such chaos. All the way up until about 20 minutes after the hour, I actually yelled out, "Shh," at one point, which did absolutely nothing, to the point where Starlight asked the archangels to go outside and actually usher these souls in, and some of them still refused to come in, and a number of them were actually from this realm that she went to yesterday, and they actually scoffed at Starlight and said, this is what you were talking about.
Wow.
And she had to go outside and apologize to them and tell them that we are not perfect either. So because of the pure chaos and the circus that is Portage, I said to Father, I cannot come here anymore. We've done what we can. And Father said, I completely understand. I commissioned the Archangel Michael to keep the altar protected, because I know that Atmos and Starlight are not in the congregation as much as they want to be. And because they don't get any peace and they don't get anything from the services, I gave them permission to go to other congregations if they would like. Starlight still is required to go on the Wednesday evening service, because that's where she's the proxy for eternity. It broke my heart. I was more disappointed than anything that all these souls were standing outside and they did not feel that they were welcomed at any point. And at one point, I got very emotional, and then I got very angry. And I looked at Father and I apologized, and he smiled at me and said, "Boy, the feeling that you are feeling is not yours." He goes, "You are feeling my heart. I am that disappointed, and I am that angry with what is transpiring." He said, "You have to understand something, boy." He goes, "The more you're there, the more you're becoming like I am, and I'm going to open my emotions to you to feel them." And I said, "I think that sucks, because what I'm currently feeling is not pleasant." And he said, "That's why it's going to be your responsibility to teach my children what is acceptable and what is not." So I'm going to share with you within a few moments what Father and my conversation was about this past week, of the disappointments that he has with what's currently going on. But I wanted to touch on one more subject before we move forward with that. I don't know about you, but for a couple months now, I have been coming to find in myself it is more difficult for me to overcome myself, to put aside my human nature, to keep my emotions in check. I'm just going to be very honest with everybody. I have become, I feel, more human than I want to admit. I have probably swore more in the last year than I have my entire life. I am angry, and the sick thing is I'm still meditating, I'm still doing the dailies, I'm still doing what we're supposed to, and it kind of struck me in service last week out of the blue, and I wrote some notes down, and I thought of this passage out of John, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, and it says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, which was known as Bethesda, and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And I said to Father, I would like you to please trouble my waters of baptism." And the reason I did that is because the inherited sins that you and I have within our family line sometimes might creep up again. And when you and I have, Father, trouble, or disturb our waters and stir them up, then in essence we are renewing our baptismal day and the blessing that we received on that. And then I went a little bit farther and I said to Father, "Could you please renew the blessing you gave me on my sealing day?" And I placed a special offering in today, and I asked Father and HS to stir my heart. And I did that for all of you today on your behalf. But I would encourage all of you to take it upon yourself to do it again for yourself next weekend. Place a special offering. Ask Father if you're having this struggle as I am. I don't know if you are or not. You don't have to say anything. But it is made available to all of us as God's kids to reawaken blessings we've received. You can ask him to reawaken the blessing you received on your confirmation day, on your wedding day. On any day that you received a blessing from the hand of a minister, you can ask Father to reawaken it for you. It is something that's always going to be inside of you. I was a priest and a rector. I might not be serving that capacity, but that blessing and those gifts are still there. And I ask Father to utilize them for me as well. So does anybody have any questions about this?
I don't have a question. I have a comment. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Orlowski was in Wyoming last Wednesday evening. And he sealed little Judah Rocha. And in that sealing, he talked about how we used to hear and pray, "Stir the waters of baptism." And he basically said, "We don't do that anymore because it makes no difference."
Hmm.
And I, you know, with what you just told me, it makes perfect sense, because you stated it a little bit differently. You said, yes, to reawaken the blessings. And maybe that understanding that we had in the past, you know, with the stirring of the waters, whatever was the intention, he said, once those sins that are, and he said, you can't, oh, how did he say it? Oh, it's not as, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, you don't have inherited sin from your ancestors. The original sin that was committed is taken from you. And so, and that made sense to me, but it was interesting that he kind of said the opposite of what you just said.
And I'll go a little farther then. The tendencies and the nature that is inherent in all of us is what drives us to either be who we are or try not to be who we are. Through the troubling of these waters of baptism, we stifle their hold on us if they're negative. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Everything you said has made sense. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I'm not going to contradict what the apostle said. I just don't think he understands at the level that I'm trying to share. Him and I will have conversations down the road.
And
but
I sure
I
hope
agree
that
with
that...
him. No, I appreciate you sharing that information. And I'm not saying that what we're doing here in this act of troubling our waters of baptism is going to remove the past sins of the original sin. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with our ancestry and who we are because of who our ancestors were, and their tendency to do things that were wrong is inherent in all of us. And you and I don't only fight ourselves, we fight the tendencies of what our ancestors did. And then I'll also bring into this a comment that Priest Teichman, who was my rector at the time, said. He said, sometimes I think we give our ancestors a bad rap and we blame them for the way we act. He goes, do you know, brothers and sisters, that you and I can create a whole new kind of sin and a whole new level of hardship for those of our children because we started something in the bloodline?
Yeah.
So it's also to help you and I to be better as well. Why do we take Holy Communion every Sunday? If we were to be like Jesus, then we should just take it once, right? And now we're like Jesus. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. And I'm sorry, but Father's blessing, if you don't renew it now and then, I think you take it for granted. And that's what, for me, that's what held the value in when I had this conversation with him. I wanted to show him that every blessing he's ever given me, and I'll tell you too, that I didn't just ask him to reawaken the blessings I received when I was baptized and sealed. My Father has given me, I can't tell you how many blessings where I have knelt in front of him and I have had him put his hands on me and he has given me different things. And I said, I want all of those renewed too, Father, for the sake of mankind and what's coming. And he said, certainly. Does anybody else have a comment or a question?
I have a question, Trilin. For those of us who were baptized inside the New Apostolic Church, but had that blessing recognized by the New Apostolic Church, is there a possibility that our baptism blessing doesn't mean what it should because of who it was given to us by?
No, it's because you, if it was done in the Trinity, then the New Apostolic Church recognizes your baptism. If it was
correct.
Done outside another church. As long as it was done under the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Okay.
Good question. Any other comments?
I just wanted to kind of share a little bit more about our visit with the Apostle on Wednesday evening. It was
Please.
Kind of interesting. There were a couple of priests standing with the apostle talking, and I thought, it looks like a good conversation. I want to join that. And one of the priests asked, so what do you know about people who claim to give healings and things? And I just stood there and I thought, I can't wait to hear what the apostle says. And the apostle said that it's absolutely possible. And this person was actually talking about another faith that he had heard of that they claim to have healers in their church. And then I shared that I had heard that there's a church that is in Wyoming near where we used to live that they actually have healers on staff and you can make appointments with them and whatever they do. So I shared that just to kind of throw out there and kind of get into the conversation. And then the apostle said he shared an experience that his daughter had when she was 3 years old. And she's gifted just as his wife is. And this is the part that just it frustrates me a little bit because I love the apostle, as we all do. And we know that he has a plan, or Father has a plan for him, but he's fighting it. But he has members of his family who are gifted. His daughter, when she was 3 years old, lost one of her grandparents. I can't remember which parent, whose parents they were, but it was a grandfather. He came to her when she was 3 years old, and he took her on top of a mountain, and she saw what Esdras saw. And the apostle said, I only know that that's what she saw because she explained it to me, and it was just like Esdras saw. And he said, I know she saw it. I have no doubt in my mind that my three-year-old daughter, who can hardly talk, saw that. And so he's open to it, but then he said, we have to be careful with all of this other stuff because the New Apostolic Church is like the trunk of the tree that leads us to our Heavenly Father. And branches can come off, and they can maybe go off a little bit, but they'll still be intact. It's when they go too far that there's a problem. And I just wanted to look at him and say, please go talk to Jim. That's all I wanted to say, and I couldn't.
No. Thank you.
Sure thing.
What's interesting, I have a comment. What's interesting is we keep hearing about how the District Apostles' plans are trying to normalize our church for other members so that it's not such a strange experience, and yet there are parts of what we experience that is normal for us, and they're not accepting it. So it's just, well, what kind of normal will they accept? What kind of normal will they not? And it's astounding. I get a headache when I think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had my conversation with Father this week, and he did it in a way that I have not experienced before. Usually when I go to see Father, I'm sitting in my chair in my room, and I'm meditating, and I'm in the center of my mind, and Michael comes and takes me to the chamber, and we sit down at a table and we chat. He decided that in the middle of rush hour traffic, when it was a complete nightmare, Michael showed up in my passenger seat and said, let's go. And I went, let's go where? He goes, your father would like to talk to you. And I kind of looked up at him, and he goes, yeah, come on, boy. And it was an hour and 20 minutes for me to get home that night. And then halfway through this, I was trying not to get angry. And he looks at me and goes, I made the traffic heavier this time, boy, so we would have more time to speak. I went, you know what, next time I'll just make more time for us. Okay, Father, I can do that. He goes, can you? Will you? I'm like, yeah, yes, I will, because this is incredibly frustrating. So anywho, so I sat across from him, and for a couple of weeks now I have talked, or I say a couple months, I should say, I've kind of been throwing out some things that I see in the congregation that seem to just not be right. And Father sat across from me, and he said, you know, boy, you've been making these points. And he said, I have to tell you that it is not your will that you are discussing these things. He said, they're all inspired by HS. He said, because they are my will. And I will tell you that I have had the Holy Spirit try to move the heart of the Disc Apostles and the Apostolate to share this information with them, but they are not listening. He said, the first thing I will agree with you is that there is a complete lack of respect in the sanctuary. He said, no conversation should ever be taking place when they walk through that door. He said, out of respect for me, but also out of respect for their fellow brother and sister. He said, now it seems to be a circus, as you say. Everybody's holding these loud conversations. Everybody's doing what they wish. He goes, and there is no more sanctity in this room that is established in by me and your brother. He said, there's no respect. He said, that needs to come back around, and you will tell the apostolate that that has to happen. He said, I, again, will share with you that I am not concerned with what people think or feel. I said, okay. He said, many have turned my home into a Starbucks and a circus. He said, if that is what they want, he said, they can go have a fellowship anytime they wish. They can get together at somebody's home. He said, but I only have a few minutes to speak with them and share with them what's on my heart. He said, there's also a big lack of respect for each other before the service, especially. I'll just reiterate it. He said, if a member comes in and they want a moment of quiet before the service to set their heart aright, they can't because somebody's talking loud. He said, that is not appropriate. He said, the other difficulty that I'm having with is that the ministers stifle the Holy Spirit with notes and Bible passages, sticking only to the circular. I said in a small group of people, I don't think everybody appreciates what Father goes through in a week's period of time for the United States, because we only get one service on a Sunday. And what everyone needs to understand is that during that 1 week, he listens to every prayer that is offered to him. And then he has a conversation with HS, and he shares with him points that he would like him to bring out in the service to answer the prayers of his children. And when a brother sticks only to notes or continues to stick on Bible passages, he stifles the Holy Spirit and doesn't give him the opportunity to bring out those things that Father feels are necessary. And I have watched the Holy Spirit even today. I watched him a number of times just take his hand off the officiant and waft back. He's not going to fight the minister. But I think that our members don't understand. Well, they certainly don't respect the idea of the effort that Father puts in. Can you imagine what it would be like to listen to millions of prayers, and then within a 30-minute period of time, which is pretty much the speaking part of a service, him cram everything he can into that so that every soul that's in that congregation receives something. And half the time, it doesn't happen. He also said to me, he sat back and threw his hands up in the air and rubbed his face, and he said, could somebody please explain to me why this church of ours needs to act like mainstream Christianity when the Bride of Christ is nothing like that? He said they continue to try and bring in those ideas into our church. That is not how the Bride of Christ is made up. And it has to stop. He said the midweek experience is not working. We will bring back the midweek service in the U.S., He said all congregations will need to be manned and opened at all hours after your announcement to help those who seek. He said perhaps seniors would be willing to be there during the days because they don't have an open full-time job. He said, and who better to counsel somebody who's new in the new apostolic faith than a member who understands their faith? And then he said, and then in the evening hours, we'll ask those people who would be willing to give of their time. He said, I'm going to just bring this up too. At no time is any YouTube video should it ever take the place of praise or thanks in a service. He said, these people are not my children. I expect my children to praise and thank me with their voices. To me, they are just being lazy. And then this morning, I kind of looked at him and I said, these are kind of hard words to say. And he said, then share this. For all those on this call right now who have children, he said, ask yourself this question. When your children go out of their way to show you their appreciation and do something unexpected that you didn't coach them to do, does it not melt your heart and bring you closer to them? And all of you who do not have children, when a family member or someone close to you goes out of their way to do something for you, does it not bring a greater appreciation to you? He said, let's take it one more step farther. He said, on your day when it's your birthday and your family is singing happy birthday to you, does it not hold more meaning to you than when you're standing in an office of people you work with and they sing happy birthday to you? He said, these are my children. I do not expect my children to praise and thank me, but I do and would like them to feel in their hearts that they should because of all the things I've done for them. Does that make sense to everybody?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What YouTube video?
I have been in different congregations where at the end of the service or even in the beginning of the service, they play a YouTube video from some other artist. It's a Christian artist.
What the heck is going on?
Well, that's why Father's bringing it up.
Instead of the choir singing?
Yeah. Instead of the choir singing, yeah. And he even said to me, too, he goes, and I know that in some congregations they do not have a choir. He goes, they certainly have a congregation that can sing. He goes, I am not concerned about what they sound like. but my children, they at least should give me their praise and thanks, not have somebody who is not my child do it for them. That kind of broke my heart when we were talking about that. He said focus should no longer only be placed on Sunday school, but the youth and those in their early 20s and up. He said, I will use the small children after Jesus is sent. He said, but right now, the core of this church, the foundation, is falling apart and breaking. And there's no one to do this work. So I'm supposed to have that conversation with the Disc Apostle and the Apostles. He said also, all ministers and people in a position of authority will be taught what their responsibilities are. If they are not fulfilling their tasks, they will be removed, and others will, that are willing to serve will be put in place. And if they would like to feed their egos, he said, they can all leave. And then Father ended, he said, my will be served. Again, I am not interested in what someone thinks or feels they want. Does anybody have any points or questions?
We've got how many months left until June?
8.
We've got a lot of work to do.
We sure do.
Do you have any plans specifically for us, Triland, as to how to move forward? Or is it all in Father's hands and we're waiting for him to make the move?
It's part B. You guys and I, no one's going to listen to a word that we say. We are not anyone in a position of authority. Where I am, the biggest joke on the planet in some circles, from what Father told me, he said a lot of people know, or let me put it the way he did. A lot of people say that you think you are the second son of God. And he said you've already got the right comeback for when you get approached with that by saying to them, you do not think anything. You know who you are because I say you are my son. So right now, I'm just bringing this information to your attention because perhaps some of these things are happening in your congregation. And even with what took place this morning, I try to quiet the members, but they don't respect me in any way, and they could care less because the sad thing is whoever's in a position of leadership has taught these people that this is appropriate behavior, that it's okay to hold a conversation in the auditorium, that it's okay to yell and scream, that when your child acts up, you don't have to respect your other brothers and sisters. You can let them do whatever they want, and we don't want to upset or offend anyone. And that is why Father said he's not interested in what someone thinks or feels. Please show me in Scripture where Father said, whatever you want to do is fine with me. Yeah, that's great. That is so not him. And our church seems to think now that we're just going to appease everybody. And the sick thing is that within Portage, they have allowed now any spirit that is allowed to come in, and I didn't share this with all of you. I shared it with Atmos because he was on the call before you all got on. But this morning, Satan was actually wandering through the congregation, and Father was there, and Jesus and HS were there, and he allowed it to happen. And he stirred up a lot of crap. I have never felt such chaos. Starlight was sitting next to me the entire service. I did not say a word to her, and at the end of the service, she looked at me like she wanted to just cry, and she said, I can't come here anymore. There's no peace. It's like we've been beat up the entire service, and I said to her, I've been having the same time. She goes, I stood in front of their Father the entire service and went, really? Really? You're letting all this happen? Why? So it has to come to an end. So I'm just saying, these little points that Father made, if something like this is happening in your congregation and you have the leader's ear, please share this information. Put the emphasis on, do you remember when we were kids? We weren't allowed to run around the auditorium. We weren't even allowed to be in the auditorium if there wasn't a service, right?
But
we
weren't allowed anywhere
near the altar. Go ahead.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that the deacon's ministry has been diminished.
Correct.
You have no deacons anymore.
Right.
And they don't do much. They don't do anything. They don't ever get called on. The members don't really respect them. And not
right.
Because they get called on, but they're not active. They walk around in street clothes. You know? They don't wear black and white.
What?
you know? And so...
And that falls under Father's point that all ministers and people in authority are going to be retrained and taught what their responsibilities are. And if they're not fulfilling them, they'll be asked to step aside and let someone who wants to. He's willing to give everybody a chance, you know? And I can't fault all the deacons because I'm pretty sure that Rector didn't sit him down and go, here's what your job is. You're the gatekeeper.
Right.
You're the one who's supposed to maintain the peace, so it's not entirely their fault. But I agree with you. There's a lot of them that come in street clothes and don't do anything.
Well, I mean, like, the ushers are the only ones that come in black and white. But the rest of the other deacons are sitting there singing in the choir, and since they changed the choir to regular business cash, they all walk in dressed like that. So you don't even know who a deacon is.
Right.
So,
and I agree with you on that, Blazar. And I would say, too, that I've seen deacons who know what their job and responsibility is and see things taking place, and they just sit there fuming because they can't do anything about it.
No, I understand that. You know, that happens when there's not a leadership. These guys are sitting there trying to do something, and they don't have.
Well, I think we ought to have a vote. We ought to vote that Tri-Land takes over right now.
I shoot that idea down.
You're not ready, huh?
I move that we go and have a beer.
Yes.
Everything in Father's time.
Yes, I agree with that.
We're all too familiar with the word soon.
Yes, and the four-letter word that it is.
Well,
right,
in 8 months is going to go really fast.
I agree, and that's why I ask what type of training we're getting outside of just meditation and, like, the stuff that we're going to be doing with Q at the end of the month. But we need more stuff like that.
And we'll come up with some things. I will.
Okay.
Because I want you guys to be ready to go, because if you're going to be standing next to an apostle, and I'll tell you this too, that when this whole thing takes place in June and a lot of people leave, the ones that stay are going to support us. Father said that. So they will respect who you are. They will listen to what you have to say. Because they'll know in their heart, we're here to help. We're not here to lord over anything. We don't think we're any better than somebody else. That we're here to serve my Father's will. That's it. And that's kind of where I wrestled this entire week with everything Father brought up. I kind of looked at him and went, we've been talking about this. And he went, yeah, because that's what I want, boy. Okay. Good to know. I'm not out in left field somewhere. So Father, at the beginning of his message, said, and I will get back to this and say it, so I don't queer it in any way. Today you will receive the final gift to assure that mankind knows I have sent you in this time. I am sure that sparked your interest and you've all been biting your tongues waiting to know. Let's talk about power and authority for a moment, and then I will tell you what that is. You stand in my authority, which means you command angels. You've been assigned 3 legions plus. And you may assign angels to anyone you would like to. It's come up in different conversations with certain guardians. They said to me, I know that this person's not a Christian, but can I assign an angel to them? Yes, you can. I can tell you where Starlight works. She works in a daycare center, and there's a number of children who are gifted, or I should say are mentally challenged, and the spirits pick on them incessantly to the point where one little boy kind of yells out loud, leave me alone, or yells out monsters. And she has taken it upon herself to protect this little kid to the point that he actually has now interacted with her angels and can feed them and talks with them. You have the authority to assign an angel to anybody you would like that your heart feels needs protection. Okay? I just wanted to bring that out first. You also have the authority to remove curses in Father's name. If a reoccurring situation continues to happen and haunt a family, and you've stepped in a number of times and it continues to be a bothersome or a problem for this family to move forward in their life, chances are there's a curse. Remove it in Father's name. All you got to do is say that. Remove this curse in Father's name. Set this family free. You have the power to bind evil and destroy it. We now have the preface made that we're not going to destroy anybody. We're going to capture them. We're going to take them into the prison in hell. But I'm telling you that if they fight and they don't want to, then you destroy them and move forward because they have their own choice made then in that moment. You have the ability to move portals. They're all over the planet. When you come across somebody in their life where there's pure chaos, always in the family's home, they rarely have peace. They say to you, we know if there's people walking in our house or causing problems, chances are there's portals. You move them and cast them out to the middle of nowhere. You have access to hell. You can go there. You can do what you need to. In Father's name, we have claimed enough land, I believe, to create this concentration camp that we're currently using. But I wanted Satan to know that I'm not the only one that's going to pay him a visit at times. Starlight herself has gone and greatly encouraged him to back off at times. Again, I will preface, he wants to provoke us. He wants to agitate and get us angry. He wants us to grab him and manhandle him. He wants us to lose our cool. Do not play into his hand. I literally ignore him. I threaten him now by telling him, this is my last threat I made, if you persist and don't back off, I will bind you and everything that's evil until Jesus comes, because mankind does not need your help. And he backs off and has. The gift that Father's speaking of is the one I'm going to talk about now. I'm going to give all of you the power to heal in Father's name. As it was in the disciples' time, when Jesus sent the Comforter, he overshadowed them, and they all received the Holy Spirit. In my final or ending prayer today, HS will come and he will overshadow all of you, and he will give you the power to heal physically in Father's name. Now, what does that actually mean? In the past, you and I, when we've given an energy healing, we put our hands on the forehead of people, and we've said, I heal you in Father's name. And then based on that person's faith, Father is either going to heal them completely, he's going to either heal them partly, or based on what he feels, he'll decide what happens. Today, that is going to be imparted to you even more. It's not just the physical healing part that you're going to have within this blessing. You'll be able to mend a broken heart. You'll be able to mend a tore soul by having a conversation with them, by shaking their hand, by giving them a hug. In essence, what you will become now from this point forward is Father's hand. It is a huge responsibility. You are never to verbally say this out loud, because then when you do that, you draw attention to yourself. That is not what we are. And just as the disciples did in Jesus' time where he gave them that power, and they ran back to him and said, tell us which one of us is the greatest. I don't want any of you coming to me and asking me that question. All right? Not going to happen. We will remain humble and small. Does that mean that you're going to be able to heal somebody's flesh? It sure does. You have to believe it, though. And then that person, they have to believe that Father's going to heal them. Do you see how uncomplicated that is, and yet how complicated that is? And when you read in Scripture that Jesus touched and healed this person, and that person was made whole, and this person was completely restored, we automatically assume that the way it was written is that it happened instantly. I can tell you that Jesus said it did not, always, but he said yes. In many cases, they did receive complete healing. This, again, we are merely Father's hand and his extension, and we are the ones who Father will facilitate, and you will know that when you see somebody is struggling, you can walk up to him and you can quietly say to yourself, in Father's name, I heal you, and put your hand on him or shake their hand. And then let's see what happens. It's Father's will what happens. But I will tell you, after my announcement, people are going to flock to us because that's what they're going to want. And our church, the apostles, made a vow to themselves years ago that they were not going to exercise that part of their ministry because they didn't want people becoming new apostolic simply because they wanted their flesh healed. Who are we to say what about anybody? We are not. And I'm going to step a little farther and say this too. And neither are they. Father is the one who decides who will be healed and who will not be healed. He completely takes that burden off of all of us. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? It is not your job to now run around and think that you can heal everybody. But he will move your heart to come in contact with certain people that are struggling. Faith, wealth, financial, soul, spirit. And by you simply saying, I heal you in Father's name, he will be the one who decides what level of healing they receive. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Would have been nice to get this before the operation.
I was waiting for you to say that.
And there it is.
The question was given to me, too, can we heal ourselves? Yes. Do you believe that you can heal yourself through Father's name? That's a question you have to answer yourself. Anybody else?
Looking forward to test it out.
Yeah. Okay, don't go running around like some kid with a new toy.
Hey, go to the nearest Whole Folks home. Yeah, see if you make them not so crabby.
The nearest old person in a walker.
All right. Our public speaking seminar is on Saturday, October 22nd at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. It should be only about an hour long. I sent you my meditation concepts log-on information. I didn't want to give this team information for our log-on. I want only the team to have this this conference call information. I don't want everybody to have it. I have told you can invite your spouses and family members if they want to participate. Jamie Allen said to me, he goes, would you mind if I attended? He said, I talk to the public all day long, and I need to sound like I'm halfway intelligent. And I said, yes, friend, you can. So that's why I changed it. So make sure you use the correct log-on. Q will email everybody what the seminar packet is about, and then as he's talking to us, we can flip through the slides at any point. We can discuss whether we want to have everybody make any comments they want during the presentation, or if Q would like to just give the presentation and then we go back and answer any questions, we can discuss that day. But it is mandatory, and I would like everybody to be on the call, please. And then our next team meeting is on Friday, November 11th at 6 p.m. Central Time. I asked Blazar if he would pray with me after today's prayer, and if does anybody have anything else they'd like to add or a comment or something they'd like to share?
I got another one. Sorry. Another one. Not that I'm lacking in faith of Father at all, but I just like to be prepared. I'm that type of person that likes to have an idea of what might happen. When you're announced, what happens? What is your thought of what happens to the businesses we work for? What moves do they make when they start hearing about this?
It'll be some time before this whole thing gets out. And if you've been who you are the entire time, my gut is telling me that your company is not going to think anything weird. I had expressed this exact same thing to Father. He said at some point we'll be employed by the church, and then at some point I will take you all off of the church's payroll and put you on my own, and I will provide for everybody an income. And I looked at him, and he went, could you just have a little faith, boy? And I went, okay. I said, okay.
Well, I tell him to give me a raise.
We're not going to live on a compound, are we?
No. But he also said this, and I forgot to bring this point up. He looked at me, and he said, boy, you do not need to get a gun. I said, okay. He goes, leave those who have them. He said, but you do not need to get a gun. I said, okay. He said, again, do you not think I'm going to keep you safe? I said, okay. You got this all figured out. You've been doing this before time began, so I guess I can just, you know, take it in stride. And I completely understand everybody's trepidation about that day. I'll tell you from the bottom of my heart that it's only been within the last 2 months that I do not have any doubt. And I do not fear that day. And I know for a fact it's going to happen. I need to say that out loud so all of you know. Because for all of us, it's been about 6 years plus, or you that have only been on the team for a brief moment, that this has been some kind of a fantasy thing. It's been some kind of what if. It's going to happen. And I completely understand if you have doubts, and that's why Father addressed that at the beginning of this. We don't have time anymore to question who I am or to doubt who you are. And I would tell you that when Satan comes to pick at your heart and tell you that you're not who you are and you're not important, then you hold up to him all the things that you have done in Father's name, and you rattle them off one by one, and he will shut up immediately. Because you have not done one of those things for yourself. And you know what they are, and you know what lives you've touched. Okay? All right. I'd like to pray.
The door closed.
We're past the hour, which I don't like doing, but it's okay. It's all good. All right. I'm going to pray with you. Kind Father, as we step before you, we all bow our hearts. We go down on one knee, and we approach you out of thanks and praise for all the things that you have done for us. We ask, Father, that you would see all of our hearts. There is much love for you. There is a lot of respect, and there is even a broken heart or two in the mix. Because of some of the things we've lived through this week, perhaps we still feel, even though we've had our sins forgiven, that we've let you down. We've broken your heart at times, and we haven't been the guardian you would expect us to be. And then it's in this moment, Father, that we bring our friends before you, and we ask that you would please extend extra forgiveness to all of us. Our big brother gave us extra strength today in his body and blood that we partook of. We pray, Father, that we will utilize that in the coming week. It is not easy to be who we are. It is not easy, Father, to step forward and to accept and grasp all that we're told. But we have faith. And we know, Father, that not one thing that we do for ourselves. We do to make a name for ourselves or try to make ourselves taller than someone else or to shine in a way that would bring attention to ourselves. We want to remain small and quiet. We want to be unassuming, which is what we've all been for all these years. We have protected the bride of Christ in spite of them, and we will continue to do that. We do not need man's permission to serve you in a capacity that they think we should be serving in. We do not owe them an explanation of who we are and what we do, because you are the one who guides us and tells us what we're supposed to be doing. And even in this meeting today, there were some words that were said to us from you that were harsh, that were tough to hear. It breaks my heart to hear the disappointment and to feel it in your heart and your words that you are disappointed with your children. And it is in this moment that we would say to you, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. But that's a misnomer. They do know what they're doing. And we pray, Father, that through your grace and wisdom, you would guide us to have the right words at the right time, to encourage change, to help bring about a peace in the congregation that is so missed, to bring about a love and a respect for one another that lacks. And that, Father, through this process, all of us can find it in ourselves to stop judging the one around us and near us, that we will treat them as we would as we look at you, to remember that a small piece that is in this human being that's imperfect is perfect, and it is their soul, because it's the living, breathing part you put in them. It is so difficult, though. It confounds us at times when somebody does something and we fly off the handle, and then we immediately say to you, I'm sorry, Father. I should not have judged. Please give us the strength, Father, to do this. We have asked that our waters of baptism and our sealing blessings and all the blessings that you've given us through our life are stirred up again in your name, and that you would give us an extra portion of strength this week. It has been difficult the last couple weeks and months to function, even in a daily way, at work. Father, please give us extra strength that we can get through it. And as these days progress towards the day we're announced, you will reveal to us more information, more confidence. You will shore up our hearts. We will no longer have any doubts. We will stand united on that day, not because we're being announced, but because you are announcing change to help your children move forward and be ready when Jesus comes. Accept us all now, Father. See our hearts. Perhaps there's a quiet concern or plead or a desire in the hearts that are near us in this group that has not been vocalized in any way by them. Then, Father, I bring it out on their behalf that you will see it, and I hold it up that you will recognize it. And when the time is right, you will answer it for them. Thank you for the love you continue to show us, for all their families and extended families. We pray, too, that they receive strength and courage. And, Father, as always, we bow to your will and do as you wish and know how much we love you and appreciate you. And thank you for listening to us. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Loving Father, we come before thee with our hearts bowed before you. And, Father of love, strengthen us and uplift us. Let us be servants, Heavenly Father, servants who are tender and loving and caring unto the souls. Father of love, you have given us these gifts, these opportunities, Father, to uplift your children, to protect the bride, that we may be able to support the apostles' ministry, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit may work through us and that we may be able to understand each soul that comes before us with their concerns, their problems, and their hurts. Heavenly Father, let us have the wisdom, the vision, Heavenly Father, to serve your children. Father of love, you have given us 5,467 promises, and they have been fulfilled. The only ones that haven't been fulfilled is the return of your Son and that promise that you will show the second Son, Heavenly Father. Father of love, let us attain a faith to understand that you have everything in motion. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. Everything that you do is in your plan. We must understand, Heavenly Father, that we are in a work that has already been completed by you, Heavenly Father, because you are omnipotent, Heavenly Father, and you know exactly how everything occurs. Guide us and lead us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, guys. Love you.